ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भां व्यासशङ्करमध्यमां अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करं लोकशङ्करं शङ्करं शङ्कराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ईशावास्यम् ईशावास्यम् इदं सर्वं यत्किञ्च जगत्यां जगत् यत्किञ्च जगत्यां जगत् तेन त्यक्तेन भुञ्जीथाः तेन त्यक्तेन भुञ्जीथाः मा गृध कस्य शुद्धनम् We completed the Bhashyam on the first mantra, but one small aspect I wanted to make it clear. Jagatyam Jagat. Means all mobile and immobile objects which constitute the entire objective universe, including one's body, mind, sense complex. This objective universe has to be negated as mithya, and the result in its truth. We understood the universe being mithya should be understood. And what is this universe? Nama Rupa Karmakhyam Jagat or Kriya Karaka Palarupam Jagat. As I mentioned earlier. This morning I said one more thing. Everything is Atma. The last word we saw, Sarvam Atmanaha Eva Idam. Everything that is here belongs to Atma and everything is Atma. Remember, we said this morning. When I say everything is Atma, you can reduce the entire objective universe into one word, the known. The known cannot exist. The known cannot exist without the knowledge. The knowledge is not possible without the knower. Okay. Therefore, existence of known is dependent on the existence of the knowledge. Existence of the knowledge is dependent on the existence of the knower. Now, this difference, knower, known, knowledge, difference is said to be jnatru, jnana, jneya, bhedaha. It's called triputi bhedaha. Now, this difference, this knower, known, knowledge, difference, is not there from the standpoint of the Atma. Because the knower is Atma. There is no knowledge without the outside of Atma. There is no known outside of the Atma. Atma is not the knower, not the knowledge, not even the known. But there is no knower, known, knowledge other than Atma. Okay? The reality. The reality is implied by the word Atma. So this morning I started this example. The entire opaque, this hall full of opaque things, all these opaque things are shining because they are not covered in darkness. They are shining. Shining means what? Their existence is known. My geese, fannies, walls are, table is, people are, colors are. All these opaque things are illumined. They shine because they are illumined. They are illumined because there is illumination. There is not darkness, there is illumination. There is illumination because there is an illuminator. You cannot deny the fact the opaque things are illumined. How do you know they are illumined? Because they shine. How are they illumined? Because there is illumination. How is it possible for the illumination to be there? Because there is an illuminator. Who is the illuminator here? Who is the illuminator here? We search for illuminator in this hall of opaque things. It is like a small world of opaque things. We search for the illuminator. Is there an illuminator or not? Definitely there is an illuminator. But who is the illuminator? There is an illuminator. Who is the illuminator? What is the illuminator? You will find out there is no illuminator other than the light. Okay? You are resolving the illuminator in light. When you say illuminator is light, you are resolving the meaning, okay, the illuminator status in light. It means there is no illuminator other than the light. Then what is illuminator then? Illuminator is a name, title given to the light from the standpoint of the illumined opaque things. It's called resolving the status. Illuminator is definitely the light. But is the light illuminator? No. Light is not the illuminator, but there's no illuminator other than the light. How do you say light is not the illuminator? Because light does not do any work. It does not make any effort to illumine the objects. Illuminating is not an action on the part of the light. Just by its mere presence, light is. By its mere presence, it illumines everything. Why does it eliminate? It doesn't do the act of eliminating, by its mere presence illumines. Illumining is the nature of the light. Okay? Prakashanam, you see, Swarupam. Illumining is its nature. Therefore, now say illuminator is light means you are resolving the illuminated status in light. Okay? Next, what is illumination now? Illumination is nature of the light. Illumination is the nature of the light. Can you separate illuminator from the light? Separate it? No. They are one and the same. Okay? Illuminator. That is why illuminator cannot be separated from the light. There is no illuminator really speaking. Illuminator is only the same name given to the same one and the only light from the standpoint of the illuminator. So it is not the illuminator. Now what about the illumination? Illumination is the nature of the light. Okay, light goes, illumination will disappear. Light is taken away, illuminator will disappear. Therefore, illuminator is light. Illumination is light. Now, illumined. This is what is difficult. Illumined, illumining light is one, isn't it? But illumined objects are innumerable, countless. Many, many objects. How many illuminators are there? One. Illuminator of this mic, illuminator of this recorder, illuminator of this table, illuminator of these colors, illuminator of this board, illuminator of the wall, illuminator of the window, illuminator of the door, illuminator of chairs, illuminator of all these objects is one and the only light. How many illuminators are there? The question is wrong. How many illuminators are there? Only one illuminator. So illuminator is one. Illuminator is light. Okay? There is no illuminator other than the light. Illumination is the nature of the light. And illumined, opaque things are many. Each and every illumined object is nothing but light. This is difficult to understand. How can you say illuminator is equated to light? Is easy to understand. Illumination is light, easy to understand. Illumined opaque thing is also light. How can you say that? Is opaque? How can you say illumined is light? Opaque thing is also light because the opaque thing is not countable. How many opaque things are here? There's so many we count. This is 1, that is 2, this is 3, this is 4, this is 5, 6, 7, 10, 100, 1000. How many opaque things are there? All these opaque things are non-countable. Opaque things do not have countability. Why? Because they do not have independent existence without the light. Whenever, wherever opaque thing enjoys the status of being the existent, and along with the opaque thing, what is inseparably there is light. Isn't it? The orange color shines means along with the orange color, what is inseparable is the light. Along with this mic, the form, name, the function, the color, along with this, what inseparably shines is what? The light. Every opaque thing, I can see every face here. Every face shines. So all your faces shine. No face is covered for me because there's no darkness. Along with every face which shines, what is inseparable is the light. Suppose the light is not here. Imagine, it's a pitch darkness. Even though you are much bright, you are much brighter complexion, still I cannot see. Understand? In pitch darkness, all your faces will be covered in darkness. I cannot make out where is Swamiji sitting, where is Swamini sitting, where are people sitting, where is Dona sitting, I can't make out. Why all the faces will be covered in pitch darkness. When all the opaque things are covered in darkness, please understand something important I'm telling. And all these opaque things remain covered in darkness, even though they're existent, they are as good as non-existent. Very important. When the opaque things remain covered in darkness, they are as good as non-existent. Why? They do not enjoy the status of being existent. Why? They do not shine. For any opaque thing to have the status of being existent, to have the status of being existent, opaque thing must shine. If it doesn't shine, it remains covered in darkness, it loses its status of being existent. Then it is as good as non-existent. Is it clear? Therefore, existence of light is the existence of opaque thing. Even though light does not create the opaque thing, light is completely distinct from opaque thing. Light has nothing to do with the opaque thing, but still existence of light is the existence of the opaque thing. Opaque thing does not have independent existence of its own outside of light. Is it clear? Therefore, because opaque thing is dependent on light for its existence, means light does not depend upon opaque thing for its existence. Is it clear? Light can be without the opaque things. But opaque thing cannot exist independently without the light. Light is not dependent on opaque things for its existence, whereas opaque things are dependent on light for their existence. Okay. Therefore, that which is dependent is as good as the effect. It's like the effect. And that which is independent is like the cause. Light is not the cause. Opaque thing is not the effect. But opaque thing is like the effect. Light is like the cause. Why? Light does not depend upon the opaque thing for its existence. Whereas opaque thing is dependent on light for its existence. Therefore, light is like the cause, opaque thing is like the effect. Now, can any cause and effect be separated? No. You cannot separate the effect from the cause. You cannot separate the water from the ocean, wave from the water from the wave. You cannot separate the gold from the ornament. You cannot separate the wood from the furniture. Similarly, you cannot separate the opaque thing from the light. Wherever it shines, it must shine only in light. Is it clear? Whether it shines in this room or other room, wherever it shines, it must shine only in light. Is it clear? Which means, so dependent is mithya. independently satyam, isn't it? Now, with reference to this world of opaque things, satyam is light. All opaque things are mithya. Because they do not have independent existence of their own, the light is taken away, all these opaque things will remain covered in darkness, they will lose their status of being existent, they lose their existence. Is it clear? Therefore, how many ever opaque things are there, all of them are mithya. Is it clear now? Therefore, just as waves, water, so here we say all the world of opaque things are nothing but light. Okay? Mithya is satyam, but satyam is not mithya. Satyam is not mithya. Light is not opaque thing, but every opaque thing is reflection of light. Every opaque thing is what? Reflection of light. First we say, every opaque thing reflects light. Every opaque thing is reflected medium for the light. Then we say finally, every opaque thing is reflection of the light. Therefore, what is this world of opaque things? This entire world of opaque things is nothing but reflection of light. Is it clear now? No. Illumined is light. Illumination is light. Illuminator is also light. But light is not the illuminator. Light is not the illumination. Light is not the illumined also. Light is just the light. Is it clear? Because illumining is not an action. Therefore, light is not the illuminator. From the standpoint of light, you cannot say light is the illuminator. But from the standpoint of the illumined, the illuminator is light. Illumination is light. Illumined are also light because the illumined can never be separated from the illuminator light. Is it clear? Now, from the standpoint of light, there is no illuminator, illumination, illumined difference. The standpoint of the illumined, illuminator, illumination, illumined difference. Is it clear? Now, extend this example to Atma and the world. Now, however vast is this universe, however great is this universe, you know, we take time factor. What about time? Time is object of knowledge. Anything which is an object of knowledge is of the nature of inertness. It has no independent existence of its own. How can we understand what is Nitya, what is of the nature of inertness? Anything known is of the nature of inertness. Inertness means what? It does not have independent existence of its own. It has dependent existence. Even it is a mithya. What about time factor? Kalaha. That's why Bhagavan's name is Kalakalaha. Kalakaleshwara. Kalantakaha. The devourer of the time. The time is the devourer of everything in the world. The Puja Swami used to say, I remember his words very vivid for me. The whole jagat is, the time comes and tells, ah ha ha ha, you know who I am. I am the time, I am the devourer of the world. Everything comes and goes in time. I am the devourer of the world. I'm aham jagat bhakshakaha. And Atma comes and says, come on, shut up. I'm the devourer of you. Atma tells, I am the devourer of the time. Kalaha jagat bhakshakaha. Aham kalasyapi bhakshakaha. I am the devourer of the time. So where is the time? Time is an object of knowledge. What about space? We do not know where the space begins, where that space ends. The space is spatially limitless, and this space is also object of knowledge. Space is object of knowledge. Time is object of knowledge. We do not know when the time begins, when the time, understand? But still time is object of knowledge, space is object of knowledge. Therefore, time and space are of the nature of inertness. They do not have their own independent existence. Time is mithya, space is mithya. Now what about all the kriya karaka palarupam jagat? What about this? Namarupa karmakhyam jagat. All forms, names and functions obtained in the form of the accessories and the actions and the results of actions. The entire world is also what? Jagat is also what? Objects of knowledge. See? Now, the object of knowledge means it is of the nature of inertness. It has no independent existence. Now we say this entire jagat is also what? Mithya. It does not have, this jagat can be reduced to one word, the known. Just as opaque things can be reduced to one word, the illumined, the world of objects can be reduced to one word, the known. Jneya prapanchaha. Okay? Jneya prapanchaha, meya prapanchaha. Perceptible, unknown world. Now, tell me, who is the knower? Start from the knower. If like, when you search for illuminator, there is no form. There is no illuminator other than lights. There is no knower of, you know, all three states of experience, three states of mind. Always there is knower. Knowing one's own existence, knowing the, not knowing one's own existence, knowing the existence of the world, knowing, not knowing the existence of the world, is always knower. That knower is none other than reality, formless reality, implied by the term Atma. Okay, why does the reality know? Knowing is the swarupam, not an action. Therefore, this Atma is implied by another term, jnanam, chaitanyam. Okay? The soul, that's why I say, knower is knowledge. Knower is Atma. There's no knower other than Atma. So, knower is Atma. Just as you are dissolving illuminator in the light, by saying illuminator is light, so also you are resolving knower status in Atma. Knower is Atma. Is it clear? There is no knower other than Atma. What about the knowledge of the objects? Knowledge is nature of the Atma. Knowing is the nature of the Atma. Knower is Atma. Have resolved already knower in knowledge, reality, Atma. Knowledge also is Atma. What about the known world of objects, including time and space? Atma is of the nature, reality implied by the term Atma is of the nature of consciousness, awareness, knowledge. You arrive at the reality in terms of its nature of knowing. As swarupam of the knower. Okay? Swarupam of the illuminator is light. Similarly, real nature, essential nature, the knower. Of the knower is knowledge, the reality. Therefore, the knower is knowledge, and the knowledge is knowledge. The knower is Atma, knowledge is Atma. The known world, the knower is of the nature of consciousness, knowing, whereas the known world is the material world. The matter is of the nature of inertness. So Atma is distinct from the known material world. Just as light is distinct from the illumined opaque thing. Light is distinct but not distant. What is the distance between the illumining light and the illumined opaque thing? What is the distance? Can you distance light from the opaque thing? There is no distance. There is no distance, but still light is distinct. Not distant from the opaque, but distinct from the opaque. Similarly, Atma, the consciousness, is not distant from anything which is known, but distinct from the known. Okay? Distinct. But that Atma is distinct from the known. Atma is of the nature of consciousness. The knower Atma is of the nature of consciousness, whereas the known world of objective universe is of the nature of inertness. It is material product, material world, but still matter is consciousness. The world of material objects is nothing but consciousness. How can you say inert matter is consciousness? Inert material world of objects is consciousness. Atma. Consciousness is not the inert material world of objects, but the entire world of objects is consciousness, because the world of objects, the objective universe, how many or innumerable countless forms, names and functions are there? They are non-countable. The objective universe, the word objects are non-countable. They do not have countability. Reduce the entire innumerable forms, names and functions as one word, the known. They do not have countability. Why they do not have countability? Because they do not have independent existence. If you take the water away, waves will disappear. Wave can be counted. Because similarly, in the same way here, without the light, opaque things cannot exist independently. Minus consciousness, minus Atma. See, we cannot remove the Atma. I just want to understand. Without the Atma, the world of material objects, the material world of innumerable countless forms, names and functions, including time and space, will lose their status of being existent. Okay? How many we count? Reduce everything into one word. As the known does not have independent existence outside of the knower consciousness. Even though world is of the nature of inertness, even though the knower Atma is of the nature of consciousness, Atma is distinct from the known world but not distant. The world never has independent existence outside of the knower consciousness. Therefore, it is non-countable. The world is as good as the effect. Atma is as good as the cause, not the cause. But There is no independent existence at all. Therefore, existence of Atma is the existence of the material world. Existence of water, I give two examples. Existence of water is the existence of the ocean. Similarly, existence of light is the existence of the opaque objects. Existence of Atma is the existence of the inert material world. Okay? Therefore, because the opaque world doesn't have independent existence, it is non-countable, doesn't have countability, therefore it is mithya. Okay? Effect is the cause, but the cause is not the effect. Ornament, chain or bangle or a bracelet is gold, but gold is not an ornament. The furniture is wood, but wood is not the furniture. Is it clear? Similarly, Atma is not Anatma Prapancha. Anatma Prapancha is nothing but Atma. So now what do you know? The knower is Atma. The knowledge is Atma. The known is Atma. The standpoint of Atma, the consciousness, there is no knower, no knowledge division. Triputi Bheda is not there. Knower, known, knowledge, everything is Atma. Therefore, Sarvam Atmaivedam. Finished. Sarvam Atmaivedam. All that is here is only Atma. If at all you want to say something else is there, it is Mithya. If this is called what now? Satyatma, Paramartha Satyatma Darshanam. This is what is called Paramartha Satya Atma Darshanam. Paramartha Satyatma Bhavana. With this vision of the absolute reality implied by the term Atma, the whole universe is resolved in the same Atma. Before you were seeing the world, now you are seeing Atma. It's called shifting your attention from the world to the Atma. Then say, what is only Atma. If this vision is there, you have resolved the world in the vision of the Atma, then resolving this universe, cognitively negating this universe, in the light of knowledge of the truth, is called Vidvat Sanyasaha. That is how you can protect yourself. There is no fear as Atma. When you see yourself as Atma, then you see everything else also as Atma. The standpoint Atma, where is the time? Where is space? Where is birth? Where is death? Where is sickness? Where is suffering? Where is jealousy? Where is hatred? Where is anger? You are free as Atma. This is called protecting yourself from all afflictions. It's clear? This is called protection. So knowledge is protection. Absolute protection is jnana. Okay, let us read now second verse. Kurvanneveha karmani, kurvanneveha karmani, jijivishet shatam samaha. Actually, you have the word jiji vishe chatagum samaha. ஜீவிஷே சதகம் சமாஹ குர்வன்னேவேஹ கர்மாணி ஜிஜீவிஷே சதகம் சமாஹ ஏவம் த்வயி நான்யதேதோஸ்தி நான்யதேதோஸ்தி ந கர்ம லிப்யதே நரே. We break it. Kurvanneva iha karmani jijivishet shatam samaha evam twai nan yathetosti na karma lipyate nare. You're all wondering, there are two lines of Bhashyam you find in this book. That is an introduction to the following mantra. I'll do that. Now, I said in the very introduction, second mantra is a sutra bhuta mantra, a mantra where lot of information is packed. So there is also vritti bhuta mantra explanation. Mantra is going to come later on. And this second mantra, I already said, discusses pravritti marga or pravritti lakshanaha dharma or karma yoga. Karma yoga. And here, literal meaning very simple. I can cover the literal meaning very quickly. Jijivishet. We take the word jijivishet. It is a root, when the root takes an affix called san. Sannanta dhatu. Sannanta shabdaha. You get this expression. It's called a desiderative. What is called a desiderative? Jijivisha means desire to live. Like mumuksha, desire to be free. Jijnyasa, desire to know. Pipasa, desire to drink. Bubuksha, desire to eat. Some words you know. Ati muksha you all know. Desire to be free. Like that, jijivisha, desire to live. Jijivishet is a potential mood verb. Must desire to live. Should desire to live. Jijivishet. Jijivishati wants to live. Jijivishet should desire to live. Desires to live, jijivishati. Jijivishet should, must desire to live. So anybody should have a desire to live. How many years? Shatam samaha, 100 years. Why only 100 years? People want to live much longer than that. But Bhagavan only has ordained only 100 years for a human being. Only some people, some elderly people, you know, they try to live much longer. But 100 years is the complete span of human life. Shatam, shatam, 100. Shatam samaha means years. May one, anyone have a desire to live, one must desire to live her complete span of life, 100 years. Shatam samaha jijivishet. But how should he desire to live? Karmani kurvan yeva. This morning I said yeva. Karmani kurvan yeva. Iha, in this world, iha, here in this world, when he is living his life as a human being in this world, he must, one must live one's 100 years, one must like, desire to live 100 years, performing actions. Okay? Kurvanneva iha jijivishe. One must live one's life, one must desire to live his life, full span of life, 100 years, performing actions. So here the, we'll see it in the Bhashyam, I'll explain to you. And how you should perform your actions, then I have to explain. Evam tvayi na anyatha ataha asti. Ataha, therefore, anyatha nasti. Anyatha nasti. Other than living your full span of life for 100 years, performing actions, unless you live life karma yoga, he says, anyatha evam tvayi anyatha nasti. There's no other way. There's no other way. Other than performing actions, performing duties, there's no way, no other way. You have to, there's no other way of protecting yourself. Karma na lipyate nare. If you live your 100 years, complete span of life, performing actions, okay, if you live ayah karma yoga, then nare karma na lipyate. That lipyate is the verb, must be understood as limpati. Then karma does not taint you, afflict you, affect you. Literal meaning. At least you know the meaning today. But I have to, I'll explain this. Actions do not afflict you. The result of actions, the results of actions do not taint a person. Lipnare karman karma na lipyate means na limpati. Lipyate should be taken as na limpati. Does not taint or touch, doesn't affect you. It's a literal meaning. Okay? No. Let me go to the Bhashyam again. Now come back to you. Again, we have to elaborately understand this verse also. See the first Bhashyam that is read here. Evam Atmavidaha Putradi Yeshanatraya Sanyasena Atmajnana Nishtataya Atmarakshitavyaha इति एषः वेदार्थः. See the first line of the Bhashyam, which is an introduction to the second verse. Before Shankara Bhagavatpada begins his commentary on the second mantra, his introduction to the first second mantra, he summarizes, he presents the content of the first mantra again in a nutshell in his first line. Okay. See, Atma Vidaha Evam means in this manner. In which manner? In the manner explained above in the first verse. In this manner, Evam. Atmavidaha, wise people. Atmavit means knower of the Atma. One who has discovered the Atma. One who has understood the truth. The person who has clear vision of the truth. The person who has the clear vision of the reality. Who has a clear vision of the Atma. One who sees everything. How, when you see the so many opaque things, you cannot lose sight of the light. Similarly, one who cannot lose sight of the Atma, even if he sees the world of plurality, such a person of clear vision is Atmavid. Atmavidaha, plural. The wise people, putradi yeshanatraya sanyasena. Sanyasena. To renunciation of their desire. Renunciation of desire for threefold things. Means everything. Having renounced the desire, having renounced the things. Desire for our progeny, desire for world, desire for wealth. Sanyasena. Atma jnana nishtataya. Atma jnana nishtata means Atma jnanam, self knowledge. Atma jnana nishtata means when you do shravanam, you have jnanam. After jnanam, you still have jnana nishta. Still, you have yet to have jnana nishta. Jnana nishta means what? Remaining steadfast in the vision of the truth. Not losing sight of vision of the truth. Lose sight of the truth. Isn't it? Remaining steadfast in the vision of the truth. It's called jnana nishta. So having unforgettable, ever remembered, clear understanding of the truth. It's called jnana nishta. So jnana nishtataya atma rakshitavyaha. One has to protect oneself. One has to protect oneself. How? By remaining steadfast in the vision of the truth. Through, no? By renouncing everything through knowledge. Renouncing everything through knowledge. Not physically giving up. The person need not wear saffron robes or need not wear anything. By renouncing everything through knowledge. By remaining steadfast in the vision of the truth. One has to protect oneself. Isn't it? Iti Vedartha. This is what is the teaching of the first mantra. Isn't it? So he says here. Iti ityeshaha Vedartha. So Shankaracharya repeats this in his commentary. He used the content of the first mantra here, briefly. How should one protect oneself? Okay, the people of wisdom, they have to protect themselves, protect the self through the renunciation remaining steadfast in the vision of the truth. Okay? The men of wisdom have to protect themselves, protect the self through renunciation by remaining steadfast in the vision of the truth. Okay. Now, there are Vidvat Sannyasi, isn't it? Sannyasa, people who have the knowledge naturally have what? Vidvat Sannyasa. Renunciation, jnanam is there, naturally there is renunciation. Knowledge is renunciation. Vidvat Sannyasaha. So, sannyasa is wise people take to the life of sannyasa. Why? Because of the knowledge to protect themselves. Because of the knowledge, they take to life of sannyasa. Then naturally they will not be interested. There is no relevance for them to do any karma. This morning you saw, they will not do any. They do not have any obligatory duties. They do not have any social obligatory duties. They need not perform any rituals. They need not do anything. There is no relevance for them. So they take to life of sannyasa. They just live in wisdom. But sannyasa is also recommended for other, some other people also. You are asking me this morning, during lunchtime. Sastram recommends taking to a life of sannyasa, a lifestyle called sannyasa, for other people also. Who are those people who are allowed to take to a life of sannyasa? They are not wise people. They are not jnanis. They are ajnanis. Of course, jnanis, because of their clear vision, they naturally take to life of sannyasa. But the ajnanis are also recommended to take to life of sannyasa. Who are those ajnanis? They are ajnanis, but in order to take to a life of sannyasa, there is an important condition that these ajnanis who have sadhana chatushtaya sampattihi, who are endowed with vivekaha, who have clear discriminative understanding, everything else in this universe is time bound. So time bound cannot give me everlasting timeless freedom. And freedom is my choiceless ultimate absolute goal. The timeless reality alone can give me timeless moksha. Therefore those who have, and the reality Atma alone is Satyam, Atma alone is real. Everything other than Atma, the all pervasive reality played with the term Atma alone is real, Satyam. Everything else is impermanent, alone. Okay? Therefore, I want to know. The people who have this discriminative knowledge of what is eternal, what is ephemeral, what is time bound and what is permanent, who have this discriminative understanding, people of Viveka. And such people have Vairagyam also. Vairagyam means they have total dispassion towards everything in the world. We mean they are not dependent on anything for their happiness and security. They are detached and they are dependent only on Jnanam for security, protection and happiness. Because they know knowledge alone can give me permanent protection, security and happiness. The people who are dependent on knowledge of reality for protection, happiness and security, who are not dependent on anything else, any artha, kama, dharma, they enjoy artha, kama, dharma. They don't have any hatred towards artha, kama, dharma, but they are not dependent on them for their happiness and security. And such people are men of dispassion. People who have Viveka, who also have Vairagyam. Discriminative understanding and dispassion. Because they have grown out of desire for everything naturally, knowing their limitations, that nothing in the world can give them happiness. Vairagyam, then, and because they know, unless and until they live a life of disciplines, live a life of dharma, there is no way of having contemplative disposition of the mind, thereby able to assimilate the wisdom. Therefore, they know the importance of following disciplines. Therefore, they also stick with, they are endowed with all disciplines. They have mental discipline, they have sensory discipline, shamaha, mental discipline, damaha, sensory discipline, they have uparamaha, they are committed to their duties, uparamaha, they are distracted by anything else, uparamaha, titiksha, they have forbearance, endurance, and they can remain same in all situations, in all, when they go through pairs of opposites, they have titiksha. And they have unflinching faith in the words of the teaching, Upanishadic teaching, Shraddha, and they have Samadhanam. They have Purusharth Nischeha, they are very focused. They may be doing so many things in the world, but they are very focused. I am living this life ultimately to discover Bhagavan, Ishvara, the Lord, the God, in the form of truth, obtaining as my own life, my own self. I am living this life definitely, ultimately for discovering the truth. Okay? And I am doing everything I am doing just for the sake of living this life. Just to prepare my mind for jnanam, I am doing. I am doing everything for living this life, but I am living this life ultimately for discovering the truth. If they are very clear, and people are very clear, like this, they are said to have, they are said to be focused, which is called samadhanam. Okay? So they're disciplined people. They have discriminative understanding of permanent and impermanent. They are dispassionate. They have adequate degree of dispassion towards everything. Nothing disturbs them, nothing can draw their attention, grab their attention, nothing can, dispassionate people, and they are also disciplined. And those people who know, who have burning urge for moksha. Why? Because how is it possible for somebody to have desire for moksha? See, moksha means freedom, liberation. And freedom, every human being is seeking desperately freedom. Freedom from the unwanted, freedom from the undesirable. Isn't it? An undesirable, unwanted is sorrow. So freedom from unhappiness, every individual is seeking. There's not even one human being in the world, okay, who does not want to be happy. Everybody wants freedom from unhappiness. I want to be happy. Okay. There's one universally acceptable fact. The two facts are there. One is, I tell you, no human being in the world wants to be unhappy. No human being wants to get hurt. Okay? This is a fact acceptable by all people of all times, of all places. Is it true or not? Who wants to be unhappy? Christian, Muslim, Hindu, Jewish? Every human being wants to be happy. Nobody who wants to be unhappy. Nobody who wants to get hurt. And this is a fact acceptable for by the people of all times, of all places, of all, isn't it, times. That way, moksha is a universal end, common, human, universal, choiceless end. I want to understand this word choiceless. Moksha is an ultimate goal. Common human goal, ultimate goal, is a choiceless goal, choiceless end. You must ask, what do you mean by choiceless goal? we have choice about things. Do you want a baked dish or simple rice? Choice. You want salad or cooked food? You want to study physics or chemistry? Choice. You want to study in Canada and America? Where do you want to live? You want to live here or there? Your choice, isn't it? Your choice. Do you want to study physics or chemistry? Your choice. You want to study this university or some other university? You have choice. Do you want to eat this food or that food? You have choice. You want to drink decaffeinated coffee or some other coffee? You have choice. You want to drink juice or tea? You want choice. You want to live in Bahamas or elsewhere in the world? You have choice. Do you want to be happy or unhappy? Do you have choice? Is there a choice? Is there a choice? No choice. We'll all say what? Want to be happy. Understand? Happiness is a choiceless end. Common, human, ultimate, choiceless end goal. It means it has to be accomplished someday or the other. One day or the other. Sometime or the other in life. Okay? Therefore, once you understand moksha being a choiceless end, happiness, because moksha is a freedom, is a literal meaning of the word moksha. Implied meaning of the word moksha is happiness. So, there's no choice. Happiness is a choiceless end. Therefore, once you mokshitvam, okay, another qualification for it, I want moksha. I want to discover moksha. I want to be free. I want to be free from limitations. That desire, burning desire is there. There's a qualification. The person who is endowed with these fourfold qualifications is called who? Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampannaha. For such people, even though they are jnanis, okay, ajnanis, but still they have these qualifications, means they are also allowed to take to a life of sannyasa. And such sannyasis are known as vividisha sannyasinaha. So vidvat sannyasi is the one who has renounced and who takes to life sannyasa because of his knowledge of everything is Atma. But Vidisha Sannyasi does not have the knowledge. He is said to become wise person. He is said to understand the truth. But still he has Purushartha Nischeha. He has Mukshutvam. He is disciplined. He has Vairagyam. He has Viveka. And he is also allowed to take to a life of sannyasa. And such a sannyasi is called Vividisha Sannyasi. Okay? And Vividisha Sannyasi is also actually the first mantra actually is for both Vividisha Sannyasi and Avidvat Sannyasi. Okay? So what is sannyasa lifestyle for? Avidisha sannyasi, vidvat sannyasi should live a life of contemplation and giving up desire for all those things. Naturally, he would have given up the desire, he wouldn't have desire for those things. So he protects himself. Vividisha sannyasi also is supposed to protect himself. How? By being given to life of Jnana Yoga, be given to the study of this Shastra. What does the Vividisha Sannyasi do? Vividisha means Vetum Icha Vividisha. desire to know. Vividisha means desire to know. Like how jijirisha is a desiderative word, vividisha is also a desiderative word. Vetum iccha vividisha. Vetum means to know. Veti knows. Vetum to know. Vetum iccha vividisha. Desire to know is called vividisha. And vividisha sannyasi means the person who has these fourfold qualifications, who is endowed with sadhana chatushtaya sampatti, and who has purushartha nischaya, and for him attainment of knowledge is the only goal, ultimate goal for him. In order to attain the jnanam, and he commits himself to the pursuit of knowledge. So he is given some saffron robes and all that, wearing saffron robes. He lives his life of renunciation. How, what should he do? He must be studying, given to study of Shastram. He must involve himself in Shravanam, in Mananam, in Vidyasanam. If he has understood, he can do Mananam. He said to understand, he can do Vidyasanam. He has to go back to Shravanam. So he must involve himself in pursuit of knowledge in terms of Shravanam, Mananam, Vidyasanam. Is it clear? That is Vividisha Sannyasi. And Vividisha Sannyasi does not have social obligatory duties. No social obligatory duties. So he doesn't need to perform rituals. So his commitment is only to the pursuit of knowledge, to the exclusion of everything else. You're asking about me this one. Okay? He's not a jnani, but he is committed to the pursuit of knowledge. And for such a sannyasi, society takes responsibility of looking after their needs. Because he's supposed to be sparing all his time only for study and being with Shastram, Vedanta Shastram. So society takes care of such a sannyasi, Vividisha Sannyasi. So first line, first mantra is for talks about Vidvat Sannyasi as well as Vividisha Sannyasi. Vidvat Sannyasi is already, who has jnanam, who renunciation is through knowledge. As Vidvat Sannyasi takes to life of sannyasa for knowing. Yet to become wise. Yet to become, has yet to understand the truth. Is it clear? Now, but still he is ajnani. Vidvat Sannyasi is still an ajnani, but qualified for the pursuit of knowledge. So who is totally given to the pursuit of knowledge to the exclusion of other obligatory duties. Now, what about the ajnani who is not yet qualified, who does not have sadhana chatushtaya sampatti, who does not have these fourfold qualifications? Even this is a problem with mokshatvam. Whenever you go attend Vedanta classes, then some mokshatvam comes. When Vedanta class is over, again mokshatvam goes away. Viveka, yeah. Vairagyam, only when you come to this, come and stay with sadhus, go back, Vairagyam also goes. Disciplines, Shamaha, Dhamaha, that is what is in this ashram very good. I tell you, in Jivananda ashram, what is best thing is discipline. You will become disciplined being with, this then 5 o'clock, 5:30, puja, 6 o'clock, as you woke up, this class, this discipline, otherwise you will take everything easily. Shamaha, Dhammaha, Uparamaha, and how will you get it? Not easy joke, huh? That's why you have to really respect. Very important. Sadhana means not simply all the time. First of all, you have to be ready. Preparedness has to be there. So, sadhana chatushte sampanna adhikarina, only for those people, vivisha sanyasaha is recommended. But ajnanis who are not yet qualified, who are not yet ready for the pursuit of knowledge, they can do shravanam, but still who are not yet prepared for the pursuit of knowledge, they still ajnanis. What will happen to them? How can they be protected? Wise person is protected through knowledge. Vidisha sannyasi is qualified, so now he is given to pursuit of knowledge. He can attain jnanam, he can protect himself. But what about the ajnanis, ignorant people who are still not qualified for knowledge, who are not prepared for the pursuit of knowledge? How can they be protected? For such people, there is a way of life called Karma Yoga is enjoined by the Veda Shastram. That is why Veda Shastram is called Mata, Shruti Mata. Any mother is equally interested in all her children. Okay, one child is very good, fantastic. Other child, let him go to hell. No. He is a doctor, he is not okay. And he needs more attention seeking child. Not always be there. An immature child, unprepared child, mother cannot ignore. Mother has to take care. Who else in the world will take care if mother doesn't take care? Who else can spare time for the child other than the mother? The whole world can ignore that fellow because he is useless and unwanted. The mother is one person has to put up, accommodate, and then look after. Isn't it? That is why Shruti is given that mother status, Veda Shastra. Because even the unprepared, uncivilized, uncultured, unrefined, immature, emotionally needy person who is ignorant, no viveka, no vairagyam, totally indisciplined, and no mukshutva, moksha, who wants? Such a person also, somehow that person has to be protected. He also needs to be protected. How can he be protected? Shastram prescribes Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga is a way of life. Sanatana Dharma, an eternal way of life. Vaidikaha dharmaha, the Vedic way of life. The way of life enjoined by the Shastra. Okay, for the wellness of all the ignorant people who are not qualified for jnana, who are not ready for the pursuit of knowledge, Karma Yoga is prescribed. In fact, Upanishad only prescribes the way of this Karma Yoga, mentions the Karma Yoga, but how to live, what is the way of life, how I can live a life of Karma Yoga to understand, Bhagavad Gita is the best book. Bhagavad Gita teaches how we can live a life of karma yoga. Isn't it? So, therefore, for such a person who is not a Vidvat Sannyasi, who cannot be a Vidvat Sannyasi, and who cannot be a Vividisha Sannyasi also, but who is still ignorant, unprepared for knowledge, for such a person, see second line, Atha Yitarasya. Yitarasya means what? The other person. Itaraha means other one. Who is the other one? The other one who is not eligible to be a Vidvat Sannyasi because he is ignorant. One who is not yet qualified, who does not have qualifications, who is not prepared with the qualifications for the pursuit of knowledge. Therefore, who is not eligible to take to a life of Vidisha Sannyasa also. And who is this? Unqualified, ignorant person. The person who is not endowed with any of the qualifications, who is still ignorant, for such a person, itarasya. Itarasya means for the other person who is ignorant yet not qualified for the pursuit of knowledge for him. Okay? Itarasya. Anatmajnataya. Anatmajnata means not having knowledge. Okay? Anatmajnataya. As an ignorant person who is still ignorant, and Atma Grahanaya Ashaktasya. Who is Atma Grahanam means what? Grasping, understanding the nature of the Atma is Atma Grahanam. One Ashaktaha incapable. Ashaktasya. For the person who is incapable, who is not subtle enough, sharp enough, who is not intellectually sharp, emotionally stable, who is not capable of, who is not subtle enough to understand the teaching. Okay? Or ashaktasya, who is incapable of grasping, understanding the nature of reality, who is incapable of understanding the Atma. Okay? Having been ignorant, for the person who is not qualified for any sannyasa, who is not, okay, such a person, Atmagrahanaya Ashaktaha, Atmagrahanaya Ashaktasya. For the one who is incapable of understanding, grasping the Atma Swarupam, for him, Idam Upadishati Mantraha. This second mantra presents this teaching, gives this teaching. The second mantra teaches the method of protecting himself. Okay, the means of protecting oneself is presented here. Second mantra presents, teaches. Mantraha idam upadishati mantraha. The mantra teaches. Upadishati means teaches. The second mantra teaches the way of life for the sake of one who is incapable of grasping, understanding the nature of reality, the Atma, and who is still ignorant, who is not qualified, who doesn't have sadhana chatushtaya sampatti, doesn't have fourfold qualifications. Is it clear? Now it's very clear. Your question came this morning. I answered your question now. So Vidvat Sannyasaha, now Vidisha Sannyasaha. That is why Vivisha sannyasi also can become a vidvat sannyasi after jnanam. Karma yogi also can become vidvat sannyasi after jnanam. Okay? So there is a way of life. You are not qualified, don't worry. Come on, there is a way of life. Follow this royal path laid in front of you. Just use this one way of life and become qualified. Prepare yourself for jnana and be committed to the pursuit of jnana. Attain jnana, discover freedom, be free. This is the teaching. Okay? So karma yoga is a Vedic way of life. Veda enjoined life. So sanatanaha dharma means a way of life suitable, acceptable, no, for, relevant for all people of all times of all places. Because it's a dharma governed life, a life which is governed by dharma. So Krishna, this mantra says, Shatam samaha, 100 years, jijivishet. May one have desire for living complete span of life of 100 years. Having said that, the question comes, why should Upanishad restate what is already there? If we do not have desire to live long, then Upanishad should tell, come on, you must have desire to live long. Already we are desperate to live long. Who doesn't want to live long? Everybody, okay? Desire to live long is already there, naturally there. Upanishad need not, no, there's a compulsion. There is a vidhi, command is there. One must desire to live long, 100 years. So that command, Shankara says, does not go with the desire to live long. One must perform actions. The vidhi, the commandment, should be connected with the karma. Because already desire to live is there, live long is there. Desire to do actions only is not there. We want to have a holiday all the time. Fun, holiday, jolly life. Isn't it? Is it clear what I'm saying? Therefore, desire to live long is already there. Why should Upanishad tell us what you must have desire to live long for 100 years? So what Shankara Bhagavatpada says, this commandment should be taken as commandment for performing action. How you should live? One must have desire to live long for 100 years, performing actions. With a desire to perform actions. Karmani kurvan eva jijivishet. Not akurvan, not without doing anything. Okay? That is why in any country, anywhere, the jobless people, you know, the government benefits for jobless people is not a good idea. They must be made to do some survey, some charitable, somewhere they should go and do something. Being a parasite on the government, they'll go lazy, they will be ruined. It's very wrong. So, kurvanneva jijivishe. Everyone must do, be very active. Physically, one must be active. Physically, sitting lazy, idle is not at all good. Tamas must be driven away, only then our mind will become subtle. Only the understanding is possible. Very important. Kurvan eva jijivishet. Okay? First condition is what? One must live one's long span of life performing actions. And what actions should he perform? You know, scripture ordained actions. The actions ordained by the Shastra. What are they? We'll come back and see. Other ways, other than performing actions, there is no way of protecting yourself. The unqualified, ignorant person cannot protect himself. There is no way of protecting himself. Do karma. But what is the karma he should do, how he should do, etc., we'll see tomorrow morning. We have entered into karma yoga. Move on. At last. No, dragging, sarvam atma. Anyway, I took some time because I had to take my own time. I see what I see. I want you to see what I see. That's why it took so long. I want to negate Viputi Bheda. Okay, any questions? The often question I answered now. So, Vividisha Sanyasi, Vidvat Sanyasi, difference you know very well.
Samji, when you gave the analogy of the light illuminating the
opaque things,
you mentioned that if we cannot see the things, they don't exist. Their existence is depending on the light.
Yes.
Can you explain?
Yeah. I thought. Okay. See. There is a chair. If it is covered in darkness, if I come here, but my legs are aching, I want to sit. I'm so desperate to sit. But I can't see a chair. Does chair exist for me? Why? Chair is. Does it serve the purpose? Because I do not know the chair is. I do not know the chair is. I do not know where the chair is. Why? The chair is still this as good as non-existent. I can't enjoy the chair. The chair doesn't have the status of being the existent. Even though chair is existent, it is as good as non-existent. It doesn't have the status of being existent because it is not seen. It is not known. Unknown is as good as non-existent. For something to have the status of being existent, to be of any use, it must become the known. Understand? Unknown is as good as non-existent. So for the thing to become the seen, to become the known, it is dependent on what? For opaque thing, because it doesn't have light of its own. The opaque thing does not have light of its own. It cannot shine by itself. It doesn't have light of its own. It can shine only when there is light. It is dependent on light for its existence. When the light is there, the opaque thing shines. Then it is known, it is seen. Then it is as good as it. Then it is existent. is useful. So for the object to even to have a status of being that become being existent, it must shine. It must be illumined. For which it is dependent on the light. Otherwise, it is, even though it is as good as non-existent. So what is that which lends existence to the opaque thing? Opaque thing means non-luminous things. What is that which lends existence to the opaque things? Light. Okay? Light alone lends existence. Opaque things borrow existence from light. They do not have independent existence of their own without the light. Is it clear? Similarly, unknown world is as good as non-existent. The world enjoys the status of being existent only when it is known. It has to be perceived, it has to be known, only then the world is, world enjoys the status of being existent. In deep sleep state, does the world exist for you? When you are fast asleep, does the world exist for you?
No.
Why? The world is existent. The world is existent. But does it exist for you? No. Why? The world is not perceived. Your sense organs are closed. The world is not perceived. The mind is non-functional. The world is not known. But the world is not known. Why? Because there is no knowledge of the existence of yourself in terms of I am. There is no knowledge of the existence of the world is. When there is no knowledge, knowledge is not manifest. Since mind is non-functional, sense organs are non-functional, the world is not perceived, the world is. But for you, for the one who is asleep, the world is as good as non-existent. For the world to be, to have the status of being existent, the world to be enjoyed, it must be perceived, objectified, it must become the known. So world is, the world doesn't have the capacity to reveal its existence by itself. The world has to become the known. To be existent, the world must become the known. To become the known is dependent on the knower. Have you answered your question?
By this scripture, what I understand till now is the one that is not qualified for studying jnana, he has to do karma yoga. The question is, the one that qualified for jnana, the sannyasi qualified for jnana, is free from karma yoga?
Very good question. See, karma yoga is a way of life. Everybody has to do karma. Everybody has to do karma. But how the karma has to be performed, the attitude with which you perform the karma converts the karma into yoga. I'll explain to you tomorrow morning anyway. I'm going to explain to you this one. But karma is there for everybody. Everybody karma is there. There's nobody, even a jnani has karma. Vidvat sannyasi has to do karma. But vira sannyasi has to do karma. Ajnani has to do karma. Everybody has to do karma. But the social obligatory duties are not necessary for vidisha sannyasi or for a vidvat sannyasi. No karma, I won't talk to you about all these karmas tomorrow. The Vidvat Sannyasi, Isha Sannyasi need not do all the rituals etc. for the sake of given results. I want money, for the sake of money, do some karma. Like they really don't need to do such rituals. Whereas the karma yogi, the person, the jnani, unqualified jnani, who is recommended to follow life karma yoga, has to do everything. Has to worship, has to pray, has to do everything. All obligated duties are important. duties, everything is important. He has to, everything, he must lie packed with the duties and things. Difference is, karma means which karma is not there, which karma is there. That is, that's the difference. Tomorrow I'll explain, I'm going to talk about it. Actually, I just started the verse, time is gone. Tomorrow I'll talk to you. Have you answered?
Yes.
Any other question? Any other question, please? Yeah.
You mentioned that the karma yogi can later become a vipassana sannyasi, and also the vidisha sannyasi can also become. So the question is, can the karma yogi reach a state where they have
sadhana chaturshya? Yeah, answer what you are asking. Help me answer the question. See, whoever has wisdom, jnanam, becomes a vidvat sannyasi. Wise person is a vidvat sannyasi. His renunciation is not physical, but through knowledge, mentally, isn't it? Cognitively, he resolves everything, becomes free, isn't it? Vidvat sannyasi. What is needed for a vidvat sannyasi? Vidya, knowledge. For a person to become a vidvat sannyasi, to be enunciated through knowledge, one must have knowledge. A karma yogi who lives a life karma yoga also is supposed to attain jnanam after becoming qualified for jnanam. Vidisha sannyasi is already qualified, also has to become attain jnanam. Ultimately, whether a person lives a life of karma yoga or whether a person lives a life of sannyasa, both lifestyles, the two different lifestyles, okay, ultimately what is to be accomplished is jnanam. When they attain jnanam, there will be vidya sannyasi. A karma yogi also eventually later on becomes, when he attains jnanam, he will be vidya sannyasi. Vidisha sannyasi, vividisha sannyasi also attains jnanam, becomes vidya sannyasi. Jnanam is the goal, is the same. Whether the lifestyle you follow is a life of karma yoga or life of renunciation, vidisha sannyasa. There is a sannyasa lifestyle or karma yoga lifestyle, two different lifestyles to be followed sequentially by every individual, ultimately for jnanam. What is the purpose of living a life of karma yoga? Ultimately to attain jnanam. Ultimately, attainment of knowledge is the purpose of living a life of karma yoga. What is the purpose of living a life of sannyasa? Attainment of knowledge. Goal is the same. But how, when they attain? Sequentially, this karma yogi becomes qualified. Living a life of karma yoga helps him to become qualified. Thereby, he will be given to the pursuit of knowledge. Then he will attain jnanam. He will attain moksha. So, vidya sannyasi also the same way. He studies, attains jnanam, attains freedom. Two lifestyles, goal is one. There is no goal, is not different. Goal is the same. Do not know different goals. Ultimate goal is the same. Okay? Yeah.
Just to clarify, can he live the lifestyle of a karma yogi and then the lifestyle of a sannyasi?
See, once a person lives a life of karma yogi, it doesn't matter what dress a person wears. A person lives a life of karma yogi, even living a life of karma yogi is highly appreciated in Bhagavad Gita. He is praised as a sannyasi. Even living a life karma yoga, isn't it? And once he becomes qualified, that will prepare his mind. Once you have that mental disposition, then you are sannyasi. It prepares him to become mentally one has to go through sannyasa. Whether you physically wear dress or not. That maturity comes your sannyasi, isn't it? Karma yoga lifestyle prepares the one for sannyasa. Not physically becoming sannyasi, maturity. Prepares one for sannyasa later on. In fact, everyone has to go through sannyasa mentally. Whether we take to life sannyasa like us, various affect groups or not, every individual, whoever has purushartha nischaya, has to become mature. The maturity, sannyasa actually implies it's a maturity. Isn't it? In sequence, one has to go to sannyasa mentally. So this karma yoga lifestyle prepares one for such lifestyle. Whether you become a sannyasi physically or not, one has to go through mental sannyasa. Then one must discover this passion. That maturity comes how? Only by living a life of karma yoga. So karma yoga is the preparatory ground. Very important. Isn't it? We'll see tomorrow. Elaborately we'll see karma yoga tomorrow. We'll clarify the doubts. We'll see how Shankar Bhagavatpada presents here. Then I'll also tell from Bhagavad Gita. Because karma yoga is an important topic. Have we clarified your doubts? Okay. Yes.
Is it gradual or all at once? Is it gradual or all at once?
Gradual. Gradual. There's no such a thing as particular. At once means what? One particular time? No. Emotional maturity is gradual. It doesn't take place overnight, no? Emotional maturity required for taking to life sannyasa or even to be given to the pursuit of knowledge, that takes time. See, if you understand what is karma yoga, then you will understand how it is gradual. Not overnight. Overnight doesn't happen. See, it's a way of life. Way of how you do everyday life, how you live. From morning, from the time you open your eyes until you fall asleep, every day, how you do your duties, how you conduct yourself, how you live your life, that is karma yoga. It's a gradual. Every day, isn't it, you live. In due course of time, it will contribute for mental preparedness. It's gradual. But definitely it is successful. Gradually, will it grow? Don't worry. Definitely, just follow this lifestyle. Then your growth is taken care of. What is the way of life? How I should live my life? That's what the question must be. If I follow the karma yoga, will I be successful? There's no need to worry about it. Understand what is karma yoga. Live the life of karma yoga. Your well-being is taken care of. In fact, somebody is asking about surrender to Bhagavan. Living a life of karma yoga is actually living a life of surrender. Okay? Living a surrender. That is living a life of surrender. It's a worshipful life, prayerful life, a life which is filled with Bhagavan. See? Gradual. Understand, we should only understand what is living a life of karma yoga. How I should live my life, that's all. Then live. Follow that way of life. You don't need to worry about anything. Your well-being is taken care of. Have you answered? Any other question? Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om. In fact, certain things, when you listen to the teaching once, second time, third time, it's the same thing, it becomes clear. The clarity enhances. It's always enhancing clarity. Become clear. Nothing to worry. See, when you are studying Shastram, you have 100% Bhagavan's grace here.